and welcome to Volunteering Discovery. This is a podcast which takes you behind the scenes of volunteering in health and care in Norfolk and Waveney. Volunteers enhance the experience of people accessing health and care in a huge variety of ways, in our hospitals, our communities, and even from the comfort of their own homes. In each podcast, we'll be hearing from those who give their time supporting others and the people who work alongside them. I'm your host, Sarah, a volunteer coordinator working in the NHS. Why not subscribe to this podcast to make sure you hear all of the upcoming episodes in the series?
A key part of our Volunteering for Health programme here in Norfolk and Waveney has been the Get Involved Innovation Fund. The fund is designed to support voluntary sector organisations to test inclusive and creative approaches to volunteering. If you'd like to hear more about the background to the programme, take a listen to our episode dedicated to the Innovation Fund itself. Today, though, we are shining a spotlight on one of the very first Innovation Fund projects to be delivered. In this episode, we'll be hearing from Opening Doors, exploring what they set out to achieve, the changes they made, and what they learned along the way. Before we dive in, we'll start with a short introduction from Katta Parrish, who leads the project for Voluntary Norfolk. She tells us why Opening Doors' proposal stood out to the award panel.
So we had a variety of different projects that we looked through in order to see which projects we thought would most align with the values of the overall initiative. And what the panel really enjoyed about this project was that it was about producing resources that could be shared across the sector. So they had quite a lot that they wanted to do within the project. They squeezed as much as they possibly could into it. So there was lots of learning and training that Opening Doors wanted to do with existing learning disabled members of their group. And then they also wanted to produce some resources that could be shared across the sector. And there was just the way in which they talked about working with and by and from learning disabled members, and then also supporting organisations who didn't really have that much knowledge of working with people who are learning disabled, bringing both of those two different groups of people together.
We'll hear more from Katta later in the episode, but first let's turn to Opening Doors, where Jules speaks with a key member of the team who helped bring this project to life.
I'm Carl, and I'm a member of Opening Doors, and they asked me to get involved
Can you please tell us how you were involved in the Get Volunteering project?
Joe, who's a senior advisor, asked me to get involved with the project because I've done voluntary work inside Opening Doors and outside Opening Doors. And I was volunteering with Voluntary Norfolk and inside Opening Doors as well. In this project, I helped to have expenses of writing and designing and running the training as well. So I designed the training and I tested it in a small group as well. So we tested it before we went to the two sessions we had last year.
What is the Get Volunteering project?
That's funded by Get Involved Project. It's about helping people to get involved. And this project was about making volunteering easier for people with learning disabilities. So we want get people to volunteer because to make stuff equal, and they want to volunteer as learners, please. It's very important for the person because voluntary work is so important, because I do voluntary work in and outside Opening Doors, and I enjoy it as well, that people make you happy.
Why is it important?
It's important to mix in the community and to speak to people, because it's very important for my voluntary work. I speak to people on the phone, so I speak to people in the community and to get out and about, not sitting in the cell, but voluntary work is to get speak to people, make friends and get support as well.
How did the Opening Doors team make the new resources?
For our training, we were working on day sessions, session one, session two. We made games. We had games to help people understand different between voluntary work and paid work. So we had a game, so you got paid work on one side, voluntary work on the other side, and we asked people to know what's paid and what's not paid. Very good game for two sessions. The resources we looked at, supporting volunteers with learning disabilities, need to be making easy read, expensive forms as well, and application of voluntary agreement. So when I was starting volunteering off other voluntary work, the travel expenses was not an easy read. That's too big, too long, and I need support with that. So that's the kind of thing I spoke to Joe, who's the advisor, and we talked about it. So any organisations who want to employ people who want to do voluntary work, well, the travel expenses and application forms as well to make it easy read, to understand how to fill an application form in and to understand to get to those easy reads as well, because that's so complicated. And I mentioned to Roger in Norfolk, they're trying to make the forms an easy read so we understand, because I don't understand it. So I get support now when I go to my voluntary work once a month, a Thursday or Friday, with my travel expenses and my hours I do as well.
What did you make?
Most games like this, they have a voluntary job, so people won't know who want to do voluntary job or voluntary job. And you could be both as well. So it'd be both voluntary and paid job. So it'd be both. So you could do that as well. And then you get paid job, but lots of responsibilities, for examples, get managed to work, and you could do it be both as well.
So how will these new resources help people with learning disabilities to volunteer?
These new resources, you know, we said about Chairman Spencer's form, but it'll make it easier for them to understand it. For the new resources, you need them. If you go to somewhere, in a certain zone, voluntary Norfolk, come way back, they'd indicate it with people learning disabilities. But now we find someone who will help us probably do travel expenses, not easy reads, but design travel expenses. So look, Joe will now send them to different organisations who will have easy travel expenses, adapt how they want to, for themselves and 15 other people can claim the money and have any hours as well. And that's how the new resources will answer is. That's the only way you can encourage people to get voluntary work, as long as things are in easy read. Because they won't understand. They'll get support, but it'll be harder for them to understand how much they claim, how much seminars they do. So the new resources are very important to encourage people as is to do voluntary work. They need support. The things I remember is when you go there, you must go there the week before. To encourage people, you need to look around, what support you get, and what voluntary work you'll be doing as well. And I remember that the first day, they showed me what I was doing. They showed me to how to answer the phone, how to write down their comments as well. That's not easy, that's on the computer. And the support as well. So it's very, and they want to know the housekeeping is, where the things are, if there's an alarm going off. So that's kind of thing. They showed me all that. And that's how the encouragement process will be, and be friendly atmosphere as well. Because people need support, like learning speech to go in voluntary work. They need support there to help them. And any questions they ask as well.
Perfect. How will the resources help organisations include volunteers with learning disabilities?
When you think about organisations, certain organisations, for example, ourselves and other organisations in Norfolk, to encourage people to do voluntary work is they need someone to come talk about voluntary work, how voluntary work would help you and what benefits you get. Say, for instance, for voluntary Norfolk or other, that's the main one for Norfolk called, but come to the organisation and talk about voluntary work, what benefits you get, what team you work in, and what kind of voluntary work you need. And to feel more confidence when someone come in to talk about volunteer work.
Okay, so just to be clear for that last question. Yeah. So the resources that you made through this project, you think they will help other organisations involve volunteers because they're clear?
Have
I understood that?
An easy read, mm-hmm. It's because we understand easy read. So any organisations, if they come to think, they'd understand what is going on and it's all easy read, step by step.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when we designed the project. So when we done our training to two sessions, to trustees and staff and those fees, they'd understand it to do voluntary anyway. They'd understand it. You explain easier, step by step, and two sessions, they got good feedback about it. If they don't do voluntary work, they'd understand a bit more.
How will Opening Doors share the new resources with others?
We're going to share the expenses form and the volunteers agreement online, Open Doors online. And other organisations can see it online to help support people with disabilities. So any organisations in Norfolk, we've got quite a lot of Norfolk, and they can bring that out to Stroud as well. So it's kind of, so all what we've done over the two sessions with me and Joe, I worked with Joe as well, we're going to share them out that way. Then contact us as you want to, whatever, but that's how we're going to do it. Yeah, they want to do that. So it's kind of the travel expenses, the fund agreement will be online.
In addition to the main part of your project, Opening Doors also helped review the questions from the funders that asked for information about who volunteered. And I know that your team helped make those easier to understand.
Yeah.
So could you tell me, when you looked at the funders' questions, what made them hard for people with learning disabilities to answer?
Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, we'd understand them. So me and Drew went through this. So we crossed some things out, so we did use these. So for example, talking interactively, time management, problem solving, and role and base skills. We'd understand them. So people answered this before that, oh, we didn't really want to put that in because we'd understand it. Me and Drew discussed it a couple of times and we said no. So in other words, put that to one side and we started a new form, funders feedback form. So on the funders feedback form, we've put working in a group, communication skills, self-confidence, thinking of ideas, understanding what voluntary jobs are, and how would you enjoy working these days as well. Now, on the back of the thing is that, what did you enjoy about working together days? What did you not enjoy? And then there are special websites for voluntary in Norfolk called Get Involved. Have signed up to this. And what would stop you using the website about volunteering? Other kind of examples. So they got, so some people got support on the day, and some people understand what. So we went slowly what it means, and everyone filled one in, and they understand. So from that, they would have said, put it to one side. And this would understand as well. It's easier, so kind of we went from that to that. Then all the forms are an easy read, down to the point, not too jargon. So two sides. And we've done very well. We tested it out as well, very good. They enjoyed it and they understand it because they tested out with me first, then we tested it on the group as well. So they understood it, what you could understand and how they understand as well. So very good.
This one is much more attractive to look at than the original.
That is very, very attractive. And that's easier. It's got pictures. There's more exciting. That's in purple. That stand out at you. So there's get involved skills, stand out, very good. And that's kind of thing we sent back as well. Very good to look at that.
Is this layout of the form, the way you've designed it, is this something that people will be more familiar with?
Yeah, that will be, yeah, because people understand it that way. We kind of got easy read forms there, and they understood it, that they prefer to do the easy read form and the complicated form. So that's much easier to understand. So I prefer people to work on easy reads, so easy to understand, any help, understand. So they've got complicated jobs for these or not. They understand that. Thinking of ideas, you know, any ideas to the group, what, anything else, then understand voluntary job roles, that's explained in the presentation, or any roles you want to do, so this kind of thing. Getting their voluntary thing camps on. And you enjoyed these working days as well, so this kind of thing, very important, what they've learned from presentation as well.
What changes did you suggest to make the questions easier to understand?
So, length things, shorter words. So, kind of have, say, for instance, an easy read picture, and had two long words on there, they won't understand it. It'll be down to the point. Say, for instance, how did the session went? That'd be easy read with the session there. Or if it's a bit longer, they won't know. So you look, like, for instance, any feedback forms, anything, down to the point. So there's a picture saying how the session went, picture how it went, and that they know. But how the session went and where, that's a bit too complicated. So when we went through the, when we understand, we always, when we do the questions, we go through them on there and then break it down with the picture and the words as well. That's what we do. I know there's sometimes you get too many questions, but as long as you think for the project, whatever the session was.
What did you enjoy most about being in the project?
I enjoyed to talk about some fun things, you know, some new things or something for the project. Some things talked about to me were, you like telling people about your experience of volunteering in Voluntary Norfolk, the things what I'd do there, answer the telephone, speak to people, and fill forms in, the Friends and Family Test. I have set up as a volunteer, doing that groups around Norfolk, several years ago, and I have Ian as well, and it was very good to do that. Those, that's not paid work, it's voluntary work, you do, and I'm part of the training group, that's a voluntary role as well. So it's kind of thing, and you get experience, you know, if I do experience, but you need to think, you know what the voluntary role is, and you know what the paid work is, and people got to recognise to encourage people into voluntary work is some of them just come and speak to people, and it's fun. I know people who've voluntary work several years, they enjoy it, to speak to people. You know, to like getting people to think what would need to be in place for them, and they would be in place for them once you get someone from voluntary haven at all. You can speak to the advisors, you speak to people to get them feel safe, and they do it once a month or how long they want to. So I speak to people as well. It's kind of meet the volunteers and see what they do. The last one I went to was the Alsham one in town, just for Christmas, and we met some people who did work and just speak to people as well. Enjoy and have fun as well and talk what we do.
Thinking about this project that you were involved in, what did you learn?
The thing I've learned in this project is volunteering with Open Doors, or volunteering anyway in general, is important. If you don't volunteer, you don't go out and about, you don't see people. When you do volunteer work, you meet new people. With this project, I found out people want to do volunteering. It's very important to tell people, like I did in this project. I'm proud of to be in the project, because volunteering, I enjoy it. And everyone else, when I spoke to about it, in session one and session two, and they realise that volunteering is very important. They really think they're various, because you meet people. They're happy when you go out and about and meet people. They do it. Instead of staying in one place, you're doing something for the community and meet people in the community. And wherever you are, Norwich, Norfolk, South, anywhere, in Norfolk, there's volunteers in shops. For this project, it's very important, voluntary, to get the volunteering, very important. I think it's so important for everybody who finds this project. I enjoy this project, I'm happy that someone supported me, and I will continue volunteering for a long time, and that I should enjoy it.
What would you tell an organisation that is unsure about having volunteers with learning disabilities?
If unsure, don't label them. Never label a person with learning disabilities. They're equal with other people. They do the same work as a paid person, but voluntary work as well. For example, a person can work at an office and do the same kind of job but voluntary work. They shred paper, or they can answer the phones. The same part of work, but they're doing voluntary. Example, like the Open Doors, do the same kind of thing, like we do voluntary work, voluntary stuff at the training group. Survivors come in, they volunteer, they won't do the training. I get paid for the training, but they come in and see what training is available. They enjoyed it, they got success out of it. And I've been there 5 years and I've enjoyed success. There's been changes over the years, but different people, they've changed, and I've enjoyed it because it's very important. You've got to think, treat everyone the same, not a label. You're learning disability, you're in a team. So people who support you, the managers, or even whoever's there, any supporters in the team, they treat me in the team, and more than team, they treat me as a member of their team. When I go volunteer work, and I enjoy it. And you get successful, and you enjoy it, it makes you happy. So have fun.
What message would you give to a person with a learning disability who wants to volunteer for the first time?
The message for the first time is, these rules are always in my head. The first time is, you would find a place where would you go first. That's the thing. Say volunteer Norfolk. They'll find a place for you. Make sure it's a welcome place to go. Make sure they support. Make sure they support you there as well. Make sure you feel comfortable where you go as well. Comfortable again, the person as well. Make sure for the first time, you make sure they show you the ropes and where the exits are and where everything is. And for the first time with learning disabilities, make sure if you want to bring a supporter with you, you can. If you want to show, or someone go with you for the first time, I had someone come with me for the first time. Make sure someone come with the first time to support you to get there as well. Because some people don't have support, so some people are a bit nervous, but make sure you have a supporter with you to meet the people at the first kind of interview for the volunteer job as well. And make sure you go with the person, with the supporter. And when you get there, make sure you go to the supporter or meet someone as well, what job you're doing, show the area. And ask questions every time. Go understand, it'll be a safe place. Make sure you take support with you to help you, because any questions you want to ask them, they can support you to help you with the questions as well. And I think my advice is, as a volunteer, I enjoy it, make sure you enjoy it as well. Make sure they'll ask what days you're available. You feel a bit nervous to begin with, but if you've got someone to go with you, family member or family care or supporter, go with them, because you need that support sometimes. Because I didn't want myself, I had a support to come with me. I had someone to bounce off to ask questions, and ask a lot of questions, so-and-so, so-and-so. and they're both there to help me as well. Because when you first start, always feel nervous, but when you bounce off the questions, you need to understand as well. Two questions you should ask: is the travel expense an easy read? And is the hours still flexible, what I can do as well? That's very important, because if you don't ask that question, things get complicated as well.
A big thank you to Carl and the Opening Doors team for sharing their experience of shaping and delivering the project. To wrap up our discussion, let's return to Kata's conversation with Jules and hear her reflections on what made this project such a success.
Yeah, it was really interesting because they felt that they kind of came at it in a really different angle to other projects when we've spoken about it afterwards. They did have really big ambitions and they did pretty much achieve those big ambitions. We got such brilliant feedback from them. We worked together with them to see what we could do about how we collect information from participants. So the first part of the participant feedback was the kind of NHS demographic data. So standard questions around age, gender, sex, those kinds of forms that are filled out quite often that lots of us might just tick really quickly, but actually can be really confusing. So the second part of that form was much more around the participant experience and the transitions that they'd made. The questions were much more qualitative rather than quantitative. And that was actually where they really helped support us when we were looking at what kind of skills did you feel that you worked on and did you improve them in any way? So that was around like communications, team skills, like role-specific skills, taking the initiative, you know, all those kinds of skills that you know that you need in order to volunteer well, but sometimes we can feel that we're really lacking in confidence for that. So they looked at both of those sets of questions and helped us simplify them and ask the questions in a less authoritarian manner and in just generally in a more friendly manner.
I was lucky enough to see some of these documents that had been produced. And I have to say, it did make me wonder why we don't use these all the time.
Agreed. And I feel like there's more work to do to make all of those forms fully accessible. I said at the beginning, their project was really ambitious. So we've all been really impressed by how much they have achieved in terms of creating those resources like Easy Read Travel Expenses and the Volunteers Agreement. I think they're still pulling together their video. The support they gave us, as we talked about in the feedback forms. Also, they provided some learning disabled-led Easy Read training so that we could better understand how to support the sector and broaden our understanding of need and support. Then within the project itself, the learning that we received from that was, I think the key focuses for me were around why it was hard to volunteer before the project. Their responses were around transport, cost of travel, a lot of uncertainty around support, how much support they'd get, whether they would get support. There were some benefits worries. They had anxiety, confidence and social worries and some concerns around the forms being accessible or inaccessible, although obviously we'd done quite a bit of work, or they'd done quite a bit of work on that. And they had worries around inclusion and belonging, as well as some kind of practical barriers, like will they have the right equipment? Will reasonable adjustments be made? And then the other thing that they really helped us understand a bit better is what help they needed to volunteer. And then a lot about clarity, the information of rules and expectations, clarity about any benefits in terms of whether there's going to be a pathway to paid work, just knowing they had everything they needed for the job. They also wanted to feel appreciated, thanked and recognised. Personally, I would say that if I could summarise it in one sentence, it would be that people with health inequalities need more support to volunteer. At the same level as that, the same amount of feeling around social connection, friends and confidence. And that's come up repeatedly across a number of different projects. It's how can people volunteer in a way that they feel A, supported by someone that they feel can explain something to them, but then B, supported by people who are peers.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. A huge thank you to Opening Doors, to Carl for his openness and enthusiasm, and to Kata for sharing her insights. What we've heard today highlights the value of co-production, especially when people with lived experience lead the way in shaping resources, training, and more accessible approaches that benefit the whole sector. If you'd like to learn more about the Get Involved Innovation Fund, you can find further information on the Voluntary Norfolk website. Thank you for listening, and we'll hope you'll join us again soon for more conversations about inclusive volunteering across Norfolk and Waveney. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review this podcast. It all helps people find us and spread the word about volunteering. This podcast was produced for the Norfolk and Waveney Integrated Care System by Hospital Radio Norwich. Hosted by Sarah Briggs. Producer was Jules Alderson. Original music composed and performed by Philip Aldred. Interviews by Sarah Briggs and Jules Alderson.